The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
All right, welcome everybody to the 16th episode of the SCU Show. I'm your host, SCU. And we're switching things up for this week, and I had a plan for this show. But it went completely out of the door because I was going to talk about how Aaron Rodgers is actually the greatest quarterback of all time in the NFL over Tom Brady. But instead, I decided to go a different path because, as Sean Garner, our producer, told us in a group chat, you want to talk about the latest news because that's what everyone cares about, not something you come up with like a theory or something like that. So I just figured, you know, this came out a couple days ago, and I was very pissed off at what I saw when I saw the Zeke suspension. Very upset, but that's the news. Ezekiel Elliott has been handed a 6-game suspension by the NFL for his part, I guess you could say, in a domestic violence case. Why am I so upset about that? Well, I mean, a lot of people are upset about this. But here's one main reason I was upset about it to start with. Let's start the show with this. 6 games? First of all, there was no evidence that he did anything. So why are we suspending him 6 games? When I first saw that, I was mortified. That was way too much of a big of a suspension. That was just totally unfair. That was absolutely unfair. I mean, you look at it. Ray Rice hit his wife in an elevator in Atlantic City, I believe it was. 2 games. Josh Brown, Giants kicker, admits to abusing his ex-wife. 1 game. Ezekiel Elliott, no evidence, nothing, nada, zip, zilch. 6 games. 6 games. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? This is really happening right now? 6 game suspension. That was too much. And I don't want to pull the race card because Ray Rice, another black man, had gotten 2 games. So, you don't pull the race. I'm not pulling the race card on this. I can't. You can't pull the race card on this because there's no point in doing it. Then the NFL came out and said, okay, Zeke. And so I believe this is like a statement from the NFL. Okay, Zeke, here is why you got your 16th suspension. It's not just because of the domestic violence thing. It's because of other dumb things you've done this offseason, such as the incident at the St. Patrick's Day parade where he flashed the woman's, you know, he flashed the woman. I believe there's another incident familiar to it, not the same, around the same time. But Zeke has done not the smartest things you could do as an athlete. So now that I know the whole story, then there's the thing with him getting to a bar fight where he knocked the guy out unconscious. That's another reason he got 6 games. So now I'm like, okay, I get it. Now I understand. That'll make more sense why Zeke got suspended. 6 games, still a little bit too much. I mean, you know, guys do dumb things. They get 4 games at least. So he reinstated today, Tuesday, and I'm hoping it at least goes down to at least 4 games. That's fair. 6 games, a little extreme, but I understand why they gave him 6 games. 4 games would be more interesting. Not interesting. It would be more fair for both sides. He gets a suspension, and Zeke gets a little bit more playing time than he deserves, really. And then there's these Cowboys fans. Oh, my God, we're out without Zeke for 6 games. That's it. And then there's Cowboys haters, too, saying the same thing, by the way. Oh, that's it. We're going 0-6. It's over. Forget about it. What are you talking about? 0-6? Are you nuts? And I look at the schedule once more here for the Cowboys. And it's a pretty easy schedule for the first 6 games. Host the Giants. I give it a loss because Eli Manning has a loaded offense to work with, especially – I'm still buying Paul Perkins, by the way. I hope he does well this season. I feel like he will as a Giants running back. Then you go at Denver. Trevor Siemian's their quarterback. I don't see the Dallas defense losing to Trevor Siemian no matter how deteriorated they have gotten since last year, losing several players in free agency. I just don't see it happening. At Arizona on Monday night. Carson Palmer, this has to be Carson Palmer's last year. It just has to be. After last year's awful performance, which he has done over his career, You know, 2015, that was the one good year. But since then, nothing. And that's it. That's it for Carson Palmer. Cowboys are going to beat the Cardinals because Carson Palmer is a bad quarterback and always has been. I can't say bad. Mediocre. We'll stay with that. Rams, week 4. That's a win. They're probably going to start Jared Goff, who I said this last year on a different podcast, overrated. The guy threw 6 touchdowns against Air Force. And he gets his first overall pick. What a joke. That is a joke right there. Laughable as anything. And unbelievable. Yeah. And the fourth game. The fifth game. At Green Bay. Yeah, Zeke was a big part to the Cowboys win last year in Green Bay. Now that he's not there, I can't say we're going to be Aaron Rodgers in that load of Packers offense this year. That's an L. So that's 4-3-2 right there. And then the last game, let me check the schedule again right here. San Francisco. Yeah. We're not losing. The Cowboys are not losing Brian Hoyer. They're not losing to C.J. Beathard from Iowa, the third-round pick out of Iowa. They're not losing to Matt Barkley. Then there's the questionable thing about Pierre Garçon being a 1,000-yard receiver again and all this other stuff. San Francisco's a mess. Cowboys finished their Zeke-less trip, you could say. 4-2. 0-6. Give me a break. You people are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Saying that they're going to go 0-6. Fanboys really annoy me. I'm becoming less of a fanboy, more of a journalist. Kind of been that way for the past couple of years. But to hear people say, oh, that's it, 0-6, good, no Zeke. Give me a break. Dak is the star of the team. I've been saying that for a while. And I'll continue to say it until Dak proves me wrong and Zeke does otherwise. But look, besides that, there's other reasons to say why they will be fine. So yes, the defense is questionable. I will ride that until I see something different this year. But you still have 2 rushers on the team that can do just as good as Zeke did last year. Darren McFadden, 1,000 yards. Alfred Morris, surprising everybody through the first 2 games of the preseason. Yeah, I know, it's just preseason. But that says something. Dak Prescott did well during the preseason. Says something. So let's not hit the panic button, Cowboys fans. They have 2 running backs that could keep the Cowboys afloat for at least 6 games. I mean, it's only 6 games. Could be less. Probably will be less. And that's that. So I want to switch over. Still talking Cowboys here on the SCU show. This is a big Cowboys show here. Not because I'm a fan, but because a lot of interesting things going on, Big D. Next topic I have. Another thing I'm noticing is that there are a lot of wide receivers on the team. You have Dez. You have Witten's not a tight wide receiver, but you get the point. Dez, Cole Beasley, Rico Gathers is showing what he's going. He's probably going to make the team this year, showing what he's done. He's done some really good stuff. Terrence Williams is doing good. Then there's Bryce Butler. He's made big. He's been a big name guy since last year. He did good things last year. I expect to do more of the same this year. And then I fell in love with Ryan Switzer when they drafted him at North Carolina. He could be wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner. But his big thing is wide receiver. So my thing is here is there's a lot of receivers, and I can't tell which ones are not going to make the 53-man roster in Dallas. You have Dez and Cole Beasley are locks to make the 53-man roster. Terrence Williams, he's okay, but what if Ryan Switzer in just 2 preseason games outdoes him? Then what? What if Bryce Butler outdoes Rico Gathers? Rico Gathers sits on the practice squad again after that kind of preseason? That's not going to be a good look for the Cowboys. Lots of questions there. There's a lot of questions in Big D. How long will Zeke be suspended? Which receiver will probably not make the 53-man roster? Just a lot of confusing things going on in Dallas. It's going to be an interesting season to see how things play out in that Big D. I will definitely, of course I'll be watching. I'm a Cowboys fan. I watch my Cowboys play. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out with the running back game, the defense, who makes the Fitzgerald roster come to probably, I believe the end of August, beginning of September is when the Cowboys will release their final roster ahead of the 2017 season. Lots of good stuff here on the SCU show tonight. I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast. Or you're listening on WTuneNet.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, or wherever else. Sean Garmer or producer Eric Watkins for the night. Post this podcast. Thank you for listening because it's going to be good stuff. Christian Blood of the Cow of the Landry Hat. Excuse me. I said the Cowboys Wire. Christian Blood. Yes, Blood of the Landry Hat. The Cowboys fan cited site will join us in about 7 minutes. Him and I got to talking earlier, but like before the show started, we talked for an hour just talking about Cowboys football and all this other stuff. This guy knows his stuff. Like, he is very smart. He's worked with Bleacher Report. He's done radio down in Fort Worth and Dallas. Going to be very interesting. I can't wait. I cannot wait to talk to Christian Blood here on the SCU show. But yeah, there's a lot of questions. Like, and I'm not worried about Darren McFadden. I'm not worried about Zeke at all. Nobody should be. Darren McFadden rushed for 1,000 yards in 2015. He could do it again. Why can't he? The offensive line lost two guys. They're still showing that they're able to do good things. There's nothing to worry about here. But yeah, like I'm saying, the real problem, though, is the defense. Dallas lost a lot of key contributors in the secondary to free agency, and doesn't look like they could do well against the receivers they have to go up against. And then we look at the receivers here. According to the schedule, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, he is a very good receiver, no matter what people think. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown from Arizona. Sammy Watkins is now with the Los Angeles Rams, so he'll have to face him in Week 4. And then you have Jordy Nelson. Martellus Bennett just on Green Bay. You're going to have to deal with him. Jordan Reed from Washington, another big guy. Alshon Jeffrey. Torrey Smith could do well. Mike Williams, if he plays. Keenan Allen will be back for the Los Angeles Chargers. That's just some names here on that the Cowboys defenders have to face. And with the secondary that they have, then I don't know much about. Like, I don't know much about it. But they lost a few guys. Morris Claiborne being one of them. So is Brandon Carr. They lost Barry Church in the inside linebacker position. It's going to be very tough to not defeat the receivers, but to slow them down at least. That's the big reason I said on an earlier show and in an article I wrote for rscnreport.com. That they're going to be 6-10. This defense is going to make them 6-10. If they have a good defense, they could finish 10-6. But I just don't see it happening. I really do not see them going 10-6, like most people say. I don't see it. I really don't. I'm hoping for the best, of course, for my Cowboys, as I am every year. But like last year, I said this last year. When I looked at their schedule, I was not happy with what I was seeing. And I'm hoping for the sort of the same this year. I'm hoping I'm wrong. Last year, I was wrong on the schedule. You know, the schedule was brutal last year. I said they're not going to make a playoffs, not going to do this or do that. They made the playoffs at 13-3. Obviously, that's due to Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott's play. But this year, I'm saying it again. I look at the schedule. I'm not impressed. Not impressed at all on this. The schedule has not impressed me because I feel like the Cowboys are going to do not as well. I could totally blow this again. I could be totally wrong. The Cowboys could finish 13-3 again, maybe 12-4, and I would be totally wrong. But I really don't see them doing that. I really see a 6-10 year still second place in the division. But we'll get to that to end the show. I'll talk about the NFC East as a whole. Coming up next, Christian Blood joins us here on the SDU show. We'll be right back.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archived videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at @Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Welcome back, everybody, to the SCU show. I'm your host, SCU. Now joining us is Christian Blood. Yes, Blood from the Landry Hat and formerly Bleacher Report, I found out today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Great to have you. Great to join you, rather. And yeah, the name is real, just in case that's that's a question mark for anybody. Parents had a great sense of humor.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of people see this and be like, wait, what? Christian Blood? But anyway, ignoring the last name, because my last name is also interesting as well. So we're going to go right into this. Ezekiel Elliott has suspended 6 games by the NFL for not just the domestic violence case, by the way, it's also for flashing a girl at a St. Patrick's Day parade, knocking a guy unconscious at a Dallas bar. But I want to get your initial reaction to the suspension.
Well, I'll just start by saying, you know, and I hate to sound like a broken record because, you know, we've all heard this before, at least at this point, since this story's really, you know, been getting louder and louder over the last few months. I will perfectly concede that Zeke is not helping himself. There's clearly some growing up to do. It's not the first instance that we've seen of this. So having said that, what concerns me is the suspension itself being for the reasons he suspended. You know, in other words, you know, if we go back to the Ray Rice case a couple years ago, of course, Greg Hardy, we've had him in our own living room, you know, in the Cowboys universe anyway. It looks to me like it's to condense this, it's an overcompensation on the part of Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, to try to make up for what I think the NFL realized was a major whiff with the Ray Rice case. But there's a big difference between the Rice case and anything that I've come across. And I'm not an attorney. I'm not involved in the case. But in the Rice case, we had video footage of Ray Rice going Mike Tyson on his girlfriend. I mean, there was no question as to what happened. With Zeke, I think there's many questions. I think that the ex-girlfriend, you know, if she is truly a victim, I'm going to omit her name to respect her privacy. If she's in fact an opportunist, then I'm not going to give her the plug. So I'm not going to mention her name. But I think that in terms of, with respect to her credibility, as I've you know, as I've learned more about what the NFL has actually been investigating for so long, I have questions regarding whether or not this was well thought out, you know, even down to the fact that Roger Goodell didn't even attend the final hearing. And so it, to me, it looks like, I mean, to answer your question in a nutshell, it looks to me like an overcompensation, and I don't know that the league got this right.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I said before you came on that six games was a little, it was a little much. He has appealed. I'm hoping it's at least four games. It would be nice. Be fair on both sides, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure when we'll hear back from the league, probably in the next day or two, but that's not the biggest problem. I mean, we talked earlier. I said this was not the biggest problem for the team because they have Darren McFadden, who rushed for 1,000 yards, could do it again. And we talked about Alfred Morris, who's been impressive during the preseason. My concern is the defense. Do you feel like the defense is a concern at all, or do you feel like this could be the same defense we saw last year, even though we lost a few key players in the secondary?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, we were talking earlier about this, and when you take your starting four in a base defense, and your back end players Barry Church and J.J. Wilcox, and you got Brandon Carr and Marsh Claiborne. You know what I think of that, and I'll just quickly say I thought that the 2012 offseason, when Dallas thought that new cornerbacks were the solution to their problem, I said they were wrong then. That's documented, and they were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. And so to start over in the NFL today is not a bad thing. If you go back to 92, I'll even cite the 93 NFC Championship game, which followed the 92 season. So we're January 93. Cowboys are the youngest team in the NFL. And a guy named Kevin Smith was able to, in large part, minimize a Hall of Famer named Jerry Rice at Candlestick Park as a rookie. Big reason the Cowboys, pulled that victory over San Francisco was because of Kevin Smith's play. Well, at that time, Rice is in his eighth or ninth year, perennial Pro Bowler, headed to the Hall of Fame. Kevin Smith was a mere rookie. On the other side of Kevin Smith, you had Larry Brown, who was just a second-year player and was more of a kind of a guy like I kind of envision him as being a little bit more like a Chidobe Awuzie, a little more physical, not a ball hawk corner. My point here is that you can win with young cornerbacks, and you're almost better off doing so, provided that you've got the pressure on the front four. If your front seven is built well, in other words, if I've got to start a football team and I'm charged with running a defense, I'm building it from the inside out, not the outside in. I think in 2012, the Cowboys were trying to, they were trying to fill holes on the outside that weren't as big of holes as they thought. And you've got a schematic change, obviously, from the 3-4 that year, and just 2 years later, they're back to the 4-3. But the dynamic is still the same. You're still going to have seven guys up front, whether it's three linemen or four, and three or four linebackers. That doesn't matter. Can you get pressure and can you stop the running game? I do believe the Cowboys are better equipped coming into this season to contend than they were last year. Although, because of other suspensions that we may talk about here, I don't know that we'll see that in the month of September.
Saying, and you said this earlier, that you said that this Cowboys team looks like they could contend easier for the Super Bowl than last year. That's very bold, something I'll be looking forward to as a Cowboys fan, as a journalist, and all that good stuff. Christian Blood of the Landry Hat and former Bleacher Report joining us. Let's stick with the Zeke thing. And we talked about this earlier, Cowboys fans, they're nuts. Oh, Cowboys haters are also very nuts as well, but that's another story for another time. Oh, Zeke gets suspended. That's it. We're going 6-0-6. First of all, you and I both know that's the dumbest thing Cowboys fans could say. Right. Because Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris. Do you have a projected – I said they're going 4-2. Do you have a projected record for that 2 months that Zeke is not there?
Well, yes, and there's two offensive players that I'm going to cite that I think are players that are under the radar right now. And, someone like yourself, myself, someone who's really, washing the stains out of Jersey, so to speak, online. I'm going to look at a running back. You know, you've mentioned Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris, but Ronnie Hillman is a guy that I think could make a bigger impact than people are aware. I think earlier I mentioned that, you know, Bill Parcells showed the world, and other coaches have done it too. I don't have a list in front of me, but a running back by committee approach can be quite successful. It can be quite successful. If you don't have that Zeke Elliott, if you don't have that Emmitt Smith or Adrian Peterson, Barry Sanders, that franchise featured running back that comes along once every 20, 30 years, you can still rack up close to 150 to 200 yards a game on the ground. Let's not forget Dak Prescott, a quarterback, is going to be good for, in many cases, he's good for 20 to 30 yards a game. Well, you're already, you know, 30% of the way to 100 yards. And if you can get 100 yards on the ground, then you've got a better chance than not to win, you know, 7 or 8 out of every 10 football games you play. What I'm saying is that the cupboard is not bare where running back is concerned. And so, you know, that combination of Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris and Ronnie Hillman, especially those three, you know, they drafted a rookie runner, and I forget what his name is, to be totally honest. But they're going to have runners. And then if you go to tight end, the potential combination of Jason Witten, who's timeless, you know what he's gonna bring to the table, but you factor in the possibility of a rapidly improving and impact making Rico Gathers, could really change what people some people perceive to be, you know, a time bomb going off for the Cowboys because one guy isn't in the backfield, that being Zeke Elliott. So if I had to predict a record, it's very hard to predict. I don't like predicting. Because the league is just, it's a week to week league. But I think the Cowboys have a better chance than not, maybe a 50-50 shot of going 4-2. But I feel quite comfortable in suggesting that I don't think they're going to finish worse than 3-3, which could be a problem down the road because it's a long season. You know, six games, you're not even halfway there. But they really need to go 4-2. But at 3-3, they can still come. This team won 7 games last year in a row. If they've got that capability in them, as long as they don't pull a 2-6 or a 2-4, then they can survive the Elliott suspension for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So I want to switch gears now to Dak Prescott. Out there, unbelievably, even after the year he had, adding several receivers, such as, like you said, Gathers, Ryan Switzer. There are still people out there that believe Dak Prescott could have a sophomore slump. Do you feel that at all? I know I don't.
No, and like you mentioned, I mean, just those receivers you mentioned, these are the least of the worries for a lot of teams are going to face. Gathers, we don't know yet. Ryan Switzer, I don't think he's touched the field yet in the preseason. We know Cole Beasley. We know what he can do, but he's not a game breaker. He's a facilitator, but he's not a game breaker. But we look at the weapons that Prescott has to throw to. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Dez Bryant. Haven't mentioned Terrence Williams. Haven't mentioned maybe my favorite receiver on the entire roster, and Bryce Butler. I think he is a bona fide weapon who's waiting to make a huge impact. I even had to be, don't quote me on this, although it's going to be on record. I was having a discussion about 2 months ago about if the Cowboys are going to keep Bryce Butler, and we already know that they invested in Terrence Williams. I was asking a buddy of mine in California, would you entertain the thought of trading Dez Bryant? Just to see if you can, you know, could you get that defensive weapon? Can you fill a hole you don't have? So my point is, just to stick with Prescott, the rookie performance was no fluke. This defense wasn't good enough to drive the bus for him like Ben Roethlisberger had with the Steelers or with, you know, some other quarterbacks that have had early success because some part of the team was truly great. But Prescott does have those weapons, and he's got this offensive line. You know, everyone said, well, the offensive line, Doug Freeze gone, and we may have some problems there. Right. The Cowboys, you realize the Cowboys could have 5 starting linemen that were either selected in the first round or have first round grades as of when they entered the league. Think about that. They didn't have that 3 years ago. They didn't have it 2 years ago, and they didn't have it last year. So the arrow is pointing up for an offensive line that is already the best in football. And so I don't know. I don't see the sophomore slump. I think Prescott has his head screwed on correctly. He's got weapons. He's got blocking. It's all looking up. I don't see a slump. No. That doesn't mean they're going to go 13-3. Like we've been talking, there's other factors here. There's suspensions and there's a new schedule, and we don't know who the Giants are. We don't know who the Redskins are. That's all a given. But if we're just talking Cowboys here, if we're looking at what we've seen on the field in the last year or two, there's some awfully strong indicators for this offense. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. And you mentioned this, the X factor. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that now. This is Christian Blood of the Landry Hat, formerly Bleacher Report, joining the SEU show. We talked about how there's we've got Dez, we got Cole Beasley, we got Terrence Williams, we got Ryan Switzer, Rico Gathers, Bryce Butler was a name we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
There's all these receivers, and I said, how are they gonna fit them all on the 53-man roster?
Yeah. Well, I think you're gonna have. I mean, at that point, you're having to try to guess how many of each position they're going to carry. You know, when you and I were talking about Ryan Switzer, I mean, Switzer's going to make the team unless it's just he's going to have to be awfully bad in three preseason games to somehow. And they, even then, I think he'll be on the practice squad because I do believe he is the heir apparent, the cheaper heir apparent for Cole Beasley here in the next couple of years. I don't have Beasley's contract in front of me, but I believe next year, not this year, but next, I believe he's entering a contract year. So if you think the Cowboys are going to carry only five receivers, then Ryan Switzer, for example, still probably doesn't have anything to worry about. But then you got Noah Brown. So I don't see how they don't. It's a great question you ask. How do you fit them all on the roster? They're going to have to go. I mean, I'm a believer that that Cooper Rush is your backup quarterback, not Kellen Moore. I've never been the biggest Kellen Moore. I don't doubt Kellen Moore's college career or his knowledge of X's. Kellen Moore is going to be the next Jason Garrett. He's going to be a much better coach than he ever is a player in professional football. But, do you need three quarterbacks? I think you do, although I believe you can hold three and have one inactive that can play if there's an emergency. He can be activated in game. It's a great question, and it's a good thing we've got three more preseason games to figure out who belongs, who doesn't, and then we see how they fit all these weapons onto the roster because you still have a defense to worry about, and that defense is going to be shorthanded early on.
Yeah, and I want to bring up something we might have talked about earlier before you came on the show, and you said that – you just mentioned it again that Cole Beasley is ending a contract year next year, and there's one team that I could think of that you mentioned – you mentioned it, and I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. Cole Beasley can wind up Washington. Maybe it just came up into your head, but why is that the team that you thought of that he could possibly land up with in a couple of years?
Well, because Washington seems to be – I mean, you know, Washington is a team without any kind of an identity. They've struggled with this ever since Dan Snyder bought the team. I mean, once the Cowboys were able to surpass – the Joe Gibbs era, the Mark Rippon run to the Super Bowl in 91. You know, the Redskins were about running the ball, and John Riggins and Ernest Biner and, you know, the Hogs up front. The Redskins have just really struggled. They have an identity, and the Redskins have also had – they've always had this venomous jealousy of the Cowboys. And in the free agency era, you know, I mean – I saw this in the 90s. I mean, no, the Cowboys squeezed out two Super Bowls, 92 and 93, before the impact of the salary cap and free agency conspired to really deplete the Cowboys of so much valuable depth. And it's to the point where it's a copycat league. And, well, if Cole Beasley can do it in Dallas, the first thing that – I mean, the Redskins would do it just to subtract him from the Cowboys. If that makes sense, you know, that's in many cases, that's what free agency is all about. You know, when the Cowboys signed Deion Sanders in 95, did they need Deion, especially when Kevin Smith went down week one? Yeah, they needed him. But arguably the biggest priority was making sure San Francisco didn't have him for a second year because the 49ers had stopped the Cowboys three-peat the year before. So even better possibility for Cole Beasley is New England. They love that shifty slot receiver. I don't know where they'll be in 2 years because I think that Mr. Deflator is probably near much closer to the end of his career than I think people realize. I think he's 40 already, or is about to turn 40. But Beasley's going to be valuable, and I just don't see the Cowboys, and especially since they just re-upped Terrence Williams. I don't think that they can provide a contract to Cole Beasley that another team can't beat by a significant margin, and I think they will.
You know, you're right. You are absolutely right on the Cole Beasley thing. They not only you said you don't think they could offer him a contract. Well, depending on what Ryan Switzer does, what Bryce Butler does, what Rico Gathers could do, maybe they shouldn't offer him a contract. Maybe he should go elsewhere. New England would be a good place to, but you know, Tom Brady can make it happen with anybody. So Cole Beasley would do well in New England. I would love to see him in Washington, depending on who the quarterback is that year in 2019. I know Kirk Cousins is rumored to go to San Francisco, but anything can happen.
Are you sure? I mean, are you sure Kirk Cousins is going to be there in 2 years? Because I'm not.
I really think he's going to San Francisco in 2018 free agency. But Christian Blood of the Landry Hat and a former Bleacher Report joining us. So two more questions here. The first one is, could you give – and you and I talked earlier, as we've said multiple times now in this interview. I wrote an article for RSCNReport.com that I feel like Dallas was going to finish 6-10 due to the defense. And you said that was kind of crazy. So do you have a predicted final record? I know you don't like predicting records, but if you had to give one right now, what would you have him at?
It's really tough because, I mean, I'm on the fence between 10-6 and 11-5.
Okay.
It's hard for me to envision 13-3 again. I mean, if we weren't talking suspensions to Elliott and to David Irving, and by the way, David Irving is the new face of the defense. But, well, they don't have a pass rusher. David Irving is, in 2 years, he will be one of the highest paid defensive players in football if he stays on the field, stays healthy, doesn't get into trouble, so forth. He is a freak. So, again, they've got to survive this first six games, and I think they may have two or three losses in there that are a problem. But when this team comes together, if their season is still going, and I think it will be, because I just don't think that they're dead. I don't think they're dead before it started. Then they can win 6, 7, 8 games in a row. They've got that kind of talent. And I think that anyone who's saying, oh, well, you know, you're a very optimistic Cowboys hater if you think that Zeke Elliott, frankly, the bigger impact to the team over the course of these coming 4 months is not Zeke missing six games. In my opinion, it's David Irving and DeMontre Moore not being there from the very beginning. I think that's what hurts the most. And that's where your projections, Stephen, on the defense still having some weaknesses and a lot of young kids on the back end. You only win with those kids if that pass rush is getting there. If you've got Charles Haley and Tony Tolbert and an army of defensive tackles rotating in and out, you win with rookies. But you've got to have the pass rush, and they're going to have to survive those six games. If they can do that, then I think that they've got a very good chance to finish 11-5, which gets them in the playoffs, where they should be a very complete team at that point.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it, but USA Today had the Cowboys 11-5. When I saw that, I was like, "What? No way!" But now, I guess you and I talked earlier, and you told me about Byron Jones and all those other guys. And I thought, maybe, you know, if the defense can do something, maybe they won't be 6-10. Maybe they'll be right outside of the playoffs, because I do feel like the Giants will win the division. We talked about that earlier as well. But, I don't know, like I said, anything can happen in the NFL, so we will see. Christian Blood. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say quickly in closing here, two names keep in mind we didn't see much from last year. So your draft is a little bit fatter than you realized. Jalen Smith and Charles Tapper.
That's right.
Tapper isn't really off to a huge start, but we don't know what he's – we still got 3 more preseason games. But if you've got Jalen Smith and Sean Lee, that's two linebackers that can help you get through those first 6 weeks. No, the Cowboys are – this team is closer to loaded than it is depleted. Don't let anybody tell you that the losing the secondary is a big deal, because they've got a lot of good players competing, a lot of young, good players. Jordan Lewis, Jatobi Awuzie, you got Byron Jones, like you said, that's an upgrade. Xavier Woods is catching people's attention, Kavon Frazier. There's a lot of competition for roster spots, and when that happens, you have a better football team. And they've got that this year. They didn't have it last year.
All right, so last question here, and then that'll be the end for this interview. Who do you have playing in Super Bowl 52, and who is your Super Bowl 52 champion?
You know, I'm going to go with one newcomer, which I think is obvious, and I'm going to stick with a skinny tradition as far as, you know, looking at last year, because I think the league changes a lot. I think Atlanta is in the driver's seat as far as I can see right now, as far as repeating as NFC champions. But I think that Oakland is able to do what they should have done last year. There should have been no New England in the Super Bowl. They were virtually outclassed anyway. I think the Raiders are the best team in the AFC right now. You know, in October, if we talk again, we might be having a different tune. But I think the Raiders beat Atlanta in Minneapolis in Super Bowl 52.
Wow. That would be something. Raiders over the Falcons in Super Bowl 52. Christian Blood of the Landry Hat and formerly of Bleacher Report. You and I will definitely be talking soon. It's been good talking to you, man.
Thank you very much, Stephen, and take care of yourself. Talk again soon.
Yes, sir. We will be right back here on the SEU Show.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archived videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Welcome back, everybody, to the SEU Show. I'm your host, SEU. I want to thank Christian Blood of the Landry Hat and formerly of Bleacher Report for joining us here on the show. Good stuff from him. And let's now, okay, we're sticking with Cowboys. But we're going broader. We're going to the NFC East. And a lot of people like to say that the NFC East is going to be such a great division in 2017. You got Dak Prescott. You got Odell Beckham Jr. Carson Wentz has receivers now. What can he do? Kirk Cousins improved. He's done good things since taking over for Marjorie 3. Now, hold on. Let's start with the Cowboys here. They definitely have a team that's exciting. But as I said before, the defense is the most questionable thing on the team. And Christian Blood and I had talked about it. Byron Jones is a guy that could do well. Tackle Charlton, rookie out of Michigan. He told me before he came on the show that he could do better as a defensive tackle than a defensive end. But that would be witnessed that Jason Garrett's call. And he told me a bunch of other things that I was like, oh, wow, maybe their defense isn't as bad as I thought. I still think they're a questionable defense regardless, but maybe they won't be as bad as I'm assuming they will be. If the defense could do something somewhat decent, I feel Dallas will have a very slim chance at a playoff spot. Maybe we go 9-7, 10-6 like Christian said, but we will see. We will definitely see. I just don't feel like the defense is going to do that well, especially as good as they did last year. It's been a question of defense for the longest time now. I've always questioned the Dallas defense. I've always felt like they bring us down. Like, the offense does well, and the defense just messes it up. And I'm hoping to see more of what I saw last year than what I saw this years before. So there's that. Nonetheless, I do have Dallas finishing, no matter what the record is, I do have Dallas finishing second in the division behind the Giants. Again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The Giants have a loaded team. That defense last year was an amazing one. And they have Landon Collins is what I'm thinking of. Landon Collins, they have Dominique Rogers-Garmorty. They have Janoris Jenkins. They have Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, he has four fingers on one hand. They have a great defense. They have a great offense. Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall. Like I said to start the show, I'm buying Paul Perkins. I want to see him do well. I feel like he could possibly rush for 1,000 yards. Probably not as likely as most may think. But I do feel like he is one of those running backs that could get there. So I definitely like the Giants. I like the Cowboys to be second. But what about the other? This is where it gets a little bit interesting here. What about the Eagles? What about the Redskins? Can they keep up? I don't know. I really don't know if the Eagles and Redskins can keep up. And I'm going to start talking about the Eagles here. Carson Wentz went from 4 touchdowns no interceptions last year through 3 games, and everyone was like, oh, God, this guy's great. The Eagles got a steal for the second pick. Yeah, it was all fine and dandy through 3 games, but after that, there was nothing. It was nothing impressive at all. He finished with 9 touchdowns. He finished the last 13 games with 9 touchdowns, 14 picks, and the team went 5-8. Not a good look. And either way, and another stat I have here is he completed 66% of his passes. Not a good look going to year 2, even though he has 2 good reps. Okay, I'm not going to say they're good yet because Torrey Smith went to San Francisco and did nothing. And Alshon Jeffery was on a mediocre Bears team. Of course, I do feel like Carson Wentz's numbers are going to increase with these receivers. Is he going to do amazing? I wouldn't count on it. I really wouldn't. I do not think that Carson Wentz will do anything that will surprise anybody in the NFL this year. I really don't. I feel like the Eagles, they have a good team. I can't deny they have a good team. Pretty good defense. Their offense looks pretty good on paper, but we will see how that works out because you don't know what to expect from Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith at all. You don't know what's going to happen. So wait and see type of situation right there. And I hate to say it. And even though Carson Wentz could do pretty good with the receivers he has, it's very questionable. We don't know yet. So I'm going on a limb here and saying that the best player on the offense for the Eagles next year will be LeGarrette Blount, their running back, who they got from the Patriots. And by the way, speaking of Blount, if you think he's going to rush for 18 touchdowns next year, you can forget about it. I say he has about a 500-yard season. It's 8 touchdowns. I was going to say 7, but I feel like it's lowballing LeGarrette Blount. And by 2018, Blount will be back with Brady in New England. He did the same thing with the Steelers. Not the best year. And he went back in New England and did amazing things again in New England. I feel like something happened again. He's going to Philadelphia 1 year, back in New England next. Nothing to worry about there. And then this is where it gets big. This is where I am big on this take with Kirk Cousins. He's not going to do as well as he did last year. Not at all. The only reason I feel he did good last year, because he had the fastest receiver in the league, DeSean Jackson. Jackson is such a fast, he's an amazing receiver. Like, he's a slot receiver. He can get out into the open. He's on an island on his own if you let him get in the open field. He catches the ball. He even mocks you. Like, he will do like a backwards walk into the end zone. Like, what happened? You were right behind me, whatever. That is talent. He's fast. He knows how to get open. And now he's in Tampa. That's what I feel. I feel like I watched highlights of Kirk Cousins before recording this podcast that I've watched Kirk Cousins highlights, and I saw a lot of them were directed toward DeSean Jackson. A lot of these plays that he made were DeSean Jackson plays. Now that Sean Jackson's gone, it's going to be a different Redskins team altogether. If you feel like they're going to do well with Terrell Pryor, you're half about right. How about half right? Terrell Pryor is okay. He is not Deshaun Jackson. Let's get that right. So when it comes to Kirk Cousins, what he's depending on now is tight end Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed is now the best receiver on that team. He's not even a wide receiver. He's a tight end. They are putting all their trust on him. That is going to be the man Kirk Cousins will be looking for all year long. It's going to be Jordan Reed. And you can make the, what about Josh Doctson? I hate to say it. I really do. I was a big fan of him coming out of TCU. But there's a chance Josh Doctson does not see a snap his entire NFL career. As he's been plagued with the injury bug. He's yet to practice during this training camp. Missed all of last year, his rookie year. It's just very sad for Josh Doctson. I feel bad for him because he had such good potential, so much potential, and he just could not do anything with it. Very sad. Such a shame. So the Eagles, you have Carson Wentz, who could possibly do better with these receivers that he has. We don't know yet. And then you have Washington, where, like I just said, Kirk Cousins isn't going to do as good because Sean Jackson's not there. And Terrell Pryor's not going to put up Sean Jackson numbers. And neither are Jordan Reed, being a tight end. He's not going to put up those numbers either. So when it comes to the Eagles, Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys in the NFC East, Giants and Cowboys are the top dogs. We already know they're going to do well on at least all on offense. I don't know about the Cowboys' defense. I said this multiple times already. I feel like Cowboys' defense is still a little bit questionable. We don't know what they could bring to the table or anything like that. But like Christian Blood said here on the SEU show, formerly of Bleacher Report, now writer for the Landry Hat, the Dallas Cowboys fan-sided blog, Byron Jones, you have Taco Charlton, David Irwin will be back after four games. So maybe I should at least put some trust into the Cowboys' defense. But I won't believe it until I see it. And right now I'm seeing 6-10 due to the defense that we have, losing such big players in the secondary, and the teams we have to play, they're brutal. Atlanta, Green Bay, Seattle, Oakland, the Giants. That schedule is not in favor of the Cowboys at all. But like last year, I said the same thing last year. The schedule is not in our favor. They went 13-3. So anything can happen in the NFL. I'm just going to put that out there. Anything can happen. Kirk Cousins could be in San Francisco. We don't know. All this other stuff going on with the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys and the NFC East. A lot of things going on. So I am off next week because Eric and I are my producer for the night and going forward. Are doing week full of episodes for This Week in the AFL, where we talk all things arena football, leading up to Arena Bowl 30 between the Philadelphia Soul and the Tampa Bay Storm. We will have special guests on, such as Mike Washington, I'm not sure yet. We will have Connor Ackerman, arena fan, Anthony Brown, founder of Arena Insider, Eric Thoreau of Nightman Nation will join us. It's going to be a good week. Full of guests, full of good stuff. And at the end of the week, next week, Eric and I will bake our Arena Bowl predictions. Plus, we'll talk about the future of the league. I know Eric's big on that. He wrote an article for it that will come out sometime in the offseason. But that is going to do it here for the SCU show. I'm your host, SCU. I will be off next week unless I find – I doubt – I'm probably not going to find anybody to fill in for me, so – I will be off next week. I will return August 29th. It would be my next recording day for this show. So until then, this has been the SCU Show.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.